Hey, what's up, guys? MG Leadership Series. We're here in Jakarta at the MG head office. Really, really excited for today's session. We're going to be talking with two of Southeast Asia's top travel industry thought leaders, Gary Bowerman and Hannah Pearson. We'll be welcoming them in just a moment. Today, we're going to be talking about how to think about the return and recovery of travel in the second half of 2021, but trying to get very data-driven and pragmatic by using two destinations that have been pretty progressive in trying to announce reopening strategies. The first is Phuket, and the second is Bali. So we're gonna talk through these two destinations and how the three of us might approach thinking about developing strategies to tackle the demand side of the equation. Assuming these markets are able to open in some more relaxed sense than they have been coming in the second half of the year. So now join me in welcoming to the show, Gary and Hannah. How are you guys?
Hey, Brett.
Hey Brett. I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, nice to see you both. Hey, where are you today?
KL.
Both in KL still.
Yeah. We're both, yeah.
That should be no surprise, I guess. You've been locked down there for more than a year now.
Since March the 18th last year.
Now, is Malaysia open again? Like, you guys can travel around the country? I know there was the kind of restrictions between interstate travel. Has that relaxed now? And
no, it's still very much. Especially for KL, Selangor, which is the neighboring state for KL. No interstate travel. We're allowed to travel between these two states, which is something, but nowhere else. And even between, they call green zone states, you're allowed really, really limited travel. So you can go if you are in a private tour operator vehicle that has got police permission, and you can't stop in a non-green zone state on the way. So it's very limited, basically, right now.
And it's been like this for a while. It was basically, we had Christmas and New Year where we could travel domestically. And there was a spike in infection straight away after the first week of the new year. Been locked down since, I think, what was it, about the 14th of January, Hannah?
Something about that. So, yeah, and no end in sight either, actually, of the interstate travel ban so far.
I asked, but I'm acutely aware as we look at booking, travel booking volumes across Malaysia and actually Southeast Asia, a lot of hotspots kicking up and, affecting some what we're looking like one more time recovering travel volumes and again coming down. So it's clear it's going to be a really bumpy and extended recovery. Let's jump into the discussion today. And I want to haul back to a live stream. One of actually the first live streams we did, maybe not the first, but one of the first. It was you and I, Hannah.
Yeah. And
we were just talking about, what's happening overall kind of in the early days of this crisis. And we talked through a recovery model that MG was using, kind of think about how is recovery going to happen. First we said, first we were thinking about, how will it happen? And people talked about U-shaped, V-shaped, and we proposed, hey, it's actually going to be Y-shaped recovery, which is, some industries recover quite quickly and others are going to take a long time. And unfortunately, travel is going to be in that slow part of the curve. And it's definitely played out that way. So it's looking like, yeah, indeed, some industries are actually, way better off even than they were before. And others, are still struggling to kind of even really be confident they're in a recovery mode. And then next, we put together kind of a four-phase model. And shout out to the guys at Arrival. I first saw something like this from Douglas Quinby at Arrival. And we kind of adapted this to work for Southeast Asia, for the hotel industry, and applied our own kind of descriptions to and maybe tweak some of the phases. So we put together a four-phase model and talked about, how things will progress from total lockdown to restricted phase, which is essentially where we are right now across Southeast Asia. Then moving on to recovery. So this is how we kind of thought through it. And we attached durations to each of these phases. And, it was looking like, we're really kind of spot on with how long each of these phases is going to last. Unfortunately, the more we're in this restricted phase, it looks like it's going to be a lot longer than just 4 to 9 months. If we came out of it you know, right about now, perhaps we would be in returning, but it's looking more like this is going to drag out longer than we had originally predicted. And then we tried to use this model to think about, okay, in each of these phases, what are the real opportunities? So as an example, in the restricted phase, you know, we talked about, you know, what is the opportunity outlook for travel players during this phase? And then, you know, what are some of the potential, you know, business segments you could go and, or traveler segments you could go and target, right? Who might still be traveling? What are the opportunities during this phase? And then lastly, thinking about who will the winners be during this phase of travel. So I thought for the discussion today to kind of help other travel leaders think about, you know, how do they capture opportunities during this returning phase? We could set up the discussion using, you know, Phuket's going to open or Bali's going to open and think through, you know, what are the potential, who are the potential demand opportunities? I mean, who would come to Phuket or Bali? If you believe, we can start with that. If you believe they will really open, where should you be looking for travelers to try to capture that demand as it begins to come on to those two destinations? And who are the winners going to be in a Bali opening or Phuket vaccinated traveler opening? Who will the winners be? And how can you kind of best capitalize on that? So let's start with, you know, what maybe you can summarize your understanding and we can kind of come to alignment. You know, what's the actual situation with the openings of Bali and Phuket? Maybe we can start with Phuket. What's kind of the current status around Phuket opening to travelers?
So they have announced this Phuket sandbox scheme, which is three phases, kind of four if you include reopening just in general. So first phase started 1st of April. And that is essentially shortening the quarantine period to 10 days for non-vaccinated travelers, to 7 days for vaccinated travelers, to six provinces. So one of those including Phuket. So then from July onwards, I think it's July, they are then going to allow travelers into Phuket that are vaccinated without any quarantine. And from October, that is meant to then be rolled out to the other five provinces that are in this scheme. No quarantine as well for vaccinated travelers. And ostensibly by 1st of January next year, they're going to throw open the borders to all vaccinated travelers, I presume, and they can go anywhere. So they have got to phase one. Phase one has started. Some people have arrived into Phuket and are undergoing this shortened quarantine. But, you know, the big question now is who's going to come?
Yeah, the clock's ticking. If you look at the date, the proposed date of the 1st of July, that's 12 weeks today. So we've got 12 weeks to make real movements here. Hannah alluded to the fact there that it's vaccinated travelers will be allowed into Phuket initially, and they must have taken one of seven vaccines that are approved by the FDA, the World Health Organization, or Thailand's own health ministry. So those are the standard seven that are mostly around the world right now. There will be restrictions, of course, even though you're going to be allowed to come in vaccinated. You know, you will be tracked and you will be traced. There will still be testing. There will still be, you know, movement restrictions. But, you know, there's a general consensus in the industry that this is a starting point that, you know, the industry really needs right now.
Yeah. So highlights for that are, now maybe a reduction in quarantine, but it's still 7 days or more between now and July. I guess 7 days is better than 14. But I think for most leisure travelers, which Phuket's a leisure destination, 7 days is also a non-starter. So it's really about July 1st. And who will have vaccinated travelers? And in theory, if you're vaccinated, you could go to Phuket like you always had with some limited mobility around the island. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so. And of course, you've got the other condition that Phuket also has to reach a certain level of vaccination on the island itself. So the government has set this target of 70% of Phuket's population should be vaccinated by the beginning of July for this to happen. And of course, we all know that Thailand's vaccination rollout has been pretty slow so far. They've got quite a limited number of vaccine doses. So that is another factor to play when it comes to vaccines too.
And then it gets a little bit more tangential because there is talk potentially, and this isn't approved at all yet, that vaccinated tourists that come into Phuket may after 7 days be able to travel onwards elsewhere in Thailand. That at the moment seems to be speculation. But I think it's something that Thailand is thinking about very much in terms that, you know, maybe travelers won't want to spend all of their time in Phuket. They would want to travel a little bit further afield if they are vaccinated. So I guess that will be something that will be in the debate over the coming weeks.
All right. So we'll come back to whether we'll come back to start with, do we believe this is going to happen or not? Let's go to Bali and what's your current understanding of Bali's proposal? I've talked a lot on some previous live streams about the Bali opening and how I'm really impressed with the Bali governor and central government, new tourism ministers collaboration around the reopening of Bali. And I think it's also, you know, looking for a July timeframe. Maybe less clear on what the exact vaccination requirements would be and which vaccines would qualify, et cetera. But it looks like they're also targeting a July opening to a fixed set of countries who might be open to coming to Bali. Is that your understanding now, or do you have more details than me?
I think that's the basic understanding. It's also a reboot. Remember, you know, Bali did try this last year. It set this date of September the 11th to reopen, and that just got postponed because so many difficulties in terms of the infection rate across Indonesia, and also the fact that, you know, all of its key markets that it would source travelers from were definitively closed, and there was no way that they were going to send travelers to Bali. I would agree with you. I think the new Indonesian tourism minister, Sandiaga Uno, has been pretty impressive. He's talked pretty straightforward. He's been forthright about what they're trying to achieve. There is this aim to open up Bintan and Batam to Singaporean travelers as a kind of test case. That's not yet approved, but that would be a sort of testing ground to see if they could roll something out, you know, in more expansively in Bali from July. In terms of vaccination requirements for Bali, I haven't heard about those details. Have you, Hannah?
No, I've not heard anything, nor about quarantine. You know, are travelers still going to have to do a minimum quarantine? I read somewhere 2 days in a government facility, but I didn't read that anywhere else. So, I mean, it doesn't seem very attractive to go and do that. Of course, Bali is just designating three zones as well for these travelers to go into, right? So Ubud, Sanur, and Nusa Dua. And so they're really driving the vaccination drive in those three zones. So I read something like Sanur had got, I think, over 90% of their residents or something has had at least one dose of that vaccine so far. Yeah. So they are progressing. But yeah, they've been a little bit cagier. Thailand have come out with this plan and announced it all. I think Indonesia are holding back a little bit so far. But I'm sure, you know, if they want to open up by July, more details are going to have to come.
I think one of the benefits that the Bali has probably over Phuket is vaccine supply. Indonesia was one of the testing destinations for Sinovac from China. So as it was part of the clinical trials, it seems to have been able to procure more supplies more quickly than Thailand has been able to do. And that might stand it in good stead if Bali is going to open maybe ahead of Phuket.
Yeah, I know, Hannah, you publish weekly vaccination stats, and I'm always impressed with the amount of doses, at least on paper, that Indonesia has secured. If that data is accurate, they're certainly in a position in terms of access to supply to be able to achieve their Bali goals. And with that kind of interstate central government collaboration, I think they are probably in a better position than Phuket to achieve that. So let's move on to thinking about these two destinations. We can maybe save to the end to debate, do we really believe Phuket will open? Do we really believe Bali will make the July date? Maybe we'll close with that, you know. But let's assume for a moment that it's July 1st or it's June 15th and it's really going to happen, or June 1st. You know, what do you, as a Phuket or Bali-based hotel, or as a travel retailer who's trying to sell them to consumers, you know, where are the opportunities for business in a limited kind of opening in Phuket and Bali? And how would you kind of think through what are the opportunities?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's quite important to go back and look historically, right, at what arrivals have been before. Pre-COVID, so from there you get the idea of where key source markets are. I think you need to look at things then in these key source markets. What are the outbound travel restrictions from there? What is the vaccination rate there? And then kind of pair that with then looking at destinations which are open right now, like the Maldives, like the Seychelles, and actually seeing right now for those destinations who are open, and Maldives is doing really well. You can see here, like their March results, 110,000. I mean, compare that, it's not big when you compare to what numbers used to be, right, for Thailand or Singapore or wherever, but it's big. You can then see who's actually going there. And from that, perhaps you can then put all of these things together, which I guess is what we're going to do over this discussion, yeah. Right? To figure out who are actually the likely source markets to arrive.
I think the other thing is you've also really got to think on your feet, because as we've seen, you know, the power and the volatility of this virus is just unprecedented. You know, you look at the top tourist arrival market to Maldives over the last few months since Maldives reopened in July. India has been the number one market. But you look at the current situation in India, you know, the 7-day average of new cases there is nearly 100,000. It's going through what is perceived to be a fourth wave. The Prime Minister said today that the next 4 weeks will be crucial in India for them to actually try and get a handle on this. They haven't been able to deliver as many vaccines as they were hoping to do. You know, it's in a bit of a difficult situation. So right now, you would have said 2 weeks ago, India would be probably your prime market you'd be looking at. Over the next 6 to 8 weeks, I don't think so.
Yeah, so like maybe point one is it's real dynamic. So I think looking at, you know, who were the travelers, who were the main kind of source markets historically for Phuket and Bali, it's definitely China, right? India, Russia, you know, probably Singapore, Malaysia. This is some Google search data, missing China because, of course, maybe not great data for Google from China. Let's assume that, you know, China's definitely up there with India in size, perhaps even bigger if there was search data there. But this is maybe a great list for who's interested in thinking about going to Thailand now. We can't tell if this is like an increase because there's no timeline. For MGE, you know, we get a billion or 3 billion or so searches a month. And so we have a great kind of base of data. For us, for Phuket and Bali from international markets, we haven't seen any shift in search volume as it relates to those two destinations, despite these announcements. So it doesn't sound like end consumers are either aware the opening's, you know, going to happen, or that they're interested in traveling yet to those destinations. So I think that's I don't know if it's an awareness thing or if it's a lack of confidence they'll be able to travel in July thing. But so I think step one, as you said, who were the source markets? And then thinking through each of these markets, is China likely to be able to travel to Phuket in July? Doesn't seem like it. You know, India, a few weeks ago, I would have said, yeah, but looking at what's happening now, it looks like, wow, that's probably unlikely in July, maybe later in the year if things get under control. U.S., I mean, U.S. citizens can come and go from the U.S. already. Their vaccinations proceeding pretty quickly. So could I conceivably believe that Americans land in Bali or Phuket in July if it was open? Yeah, I definitely can.
Yeah, so you can see actually, Brett, this, like, there are, you know, U.S. were the top arrivals to Thailand in February. So yeah, I think I'm with you on that. You know, I agree that it's not much, right? 668, and this is absolute numbers, it's not thousands or anything, but that's down month on month. So that means January was actually higher than that. So there is that demand. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that the US is gonna be quite a big player for these guys in terms of inbound markets.
And then I would think you would look at the UK, because the UK has administered quite a lot of vaccines, particularly the first dose, and it's trying to ramp up the second dose as well. But the issue with the UK is, again, is like I was saying earlier, you're really going to have to think on your feet, and you have to be very agile in the way that you're marketing, because the UK has gone through more restrictions in the past month or so than it did for the whole of the previous year. And it does now seem to be even more stringent on that. And it's saying that when it does open to outbound travel, because it's not currently really open to outbound travel, it's going to have a traffic light system. So there'll be yellow, amber, and red destinations. And those could change all the time. So one of the issues for UK travelers, even whether vaccinated or not, and this is one of the issues that's come up with the Australia-New Zealand travel bubble this week, is this fear that if you travel, and at the time of travel, it's okay, everything is fine, but then while you're overseas, there is an outbreak. You know, that is going to be as big a disincentive to travel as quarantines has been over the past year. And that is something that the travel industry really has absolutely no control over.
I want to get into this in more detail around a vaccination, what it means, who can travel. So I think that's probably step two. So step one is, you know, review the top inbound markets for Phuket, Bali historically, and then think through, you know, are these, you know, potentials for July, August, for third quarter? I mean, we're trying to get pragmatic. You know, how do you capture the most of any opportunities that do emerge? And it sounds like we're all agreeing, you know, definitely from the historic Thailand top list. U.S. is an opportunity, and that probably applies to Bali as well. How about Russia? I think Russians will be on the plane the day that planes fly anywhere. I know there are already some of the top travelers to places like Maldives, Dubai. What's your view on Russians coming to both Phuket and Bali?
Yeah, I would agree. I absolutely agree. I think, you know, the rise in infections sort of peaked in Russia around about Christmas, January, and the curve has definitely come down. They have been administering their own vaccines quite fast, not as fast as the US, but they are making progress. I would say Russia for sure would be a primary market for both countries.
Yeah, like you say, we've seen an increase from Russians traveling to the Maldives, so that definitely indicates that there's interest there. So I definitely would include them. But if you look at markets like, if you look at markets here like Laos in 2019, I mean, that is one that I would immediately strike off that I don't think is going to happen in Q3. You know, the Thai Prime Minister, I think, was talking this week about how Laos was a target for travel bubbles. But, you know, Laos are using Sinopharm vaccine, and that's not even one of the ones on Thailand's permitted vaccination list right now. And or Lao deciding to reopen to Thailand with that.
The only, going back to Russia, the only slight caveat I would have is the time of year, July. You know, the Russian period generally for coming into Asia is during the Russian winter, and we'll be through that by then. So, you know, I guess it depends. Well, will Russians have much opportunity to travel in Europe this summer? Perhaps not. So that may direct them more into Southeast Asia. But, you know, that would be my only caveat would be the timing.
Demas, do we have the Bali top inbound market data? Yeah, I mean, just maybe comparing these, you know, looking through the list, nothing really here excites me that much other than US and potentially UK, I guess. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but that's really the only kind of immediate opportunity countries that jump out for me.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I mean, I think you're usually looking, when it comes to Bali, you're usually looking at the big pillar markets, so China and India. You're looking at intra-ASEAN, which at the moment doesn't look likely. And then you're looking longer haul. Australia, of course, is such a key market, but that isn't going to happen this year. So when you look at that list of 10 countries beyond the US and the UK, maybe India later in the year, I don't really see much else.
I think step one for you as someone, you know, managing a hotel or as a seller of travel, I would think about historically who were the, you know, top inbound customers for you or for the destination, and which do you view, you know, potentially, you know, would be open to traveling in July. And then the next step, I think, is thinking about, you know, what's the level of vaccination, particularly for Phuket, who's already specified vaccination requirements in order to qualify for no quarantine. You could look at, you know, how are these countries doing in terms of vaccination? Because it needs to be, not only can they get in, but they can get back into their own country without having the quarantine requirements, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's key. You're definitely not going to travel if you potentially maybe have to quarantine for 1 or 2 days on arrival to Thailand or to Indonesia, and then have to quarantine for like 2 weeks when you go home. Like, no way. So that, I think that is really one of the key factors. And it will be interesting to see how countries start implementing that going forwards during the summer, and how vaccine passports play a role in all of that too.
This is just a random stat, but there are currently, this is up to yesterday, there are 42 countries in the world that have administered 1 million or more vaccine doses up to yesterday. 42 countries in the world, and only 8 of them are in Asia.
The current vaccination progress match with some of our discussions around some of the inbound, you know, historic markets. Are you seeing some good synergies with any of those?
I mean, the UK has said that they are aiming to have had all of their population have the first dose by the end of July. You know, the EU are also aiming for 70% of adults to be vaccinated by July. Whether these will happen because of, you know, vaccine supply shortage is yet to be seen. But, you know, they have got those targets there. And like we said already, the US, I think, has got very high targets that it wants to achieve. So those do have some synergies, I think. But, you know, if you were looking at Southeast Asia, intra-ASEAN travel, a lot of these are only just about to start vaccinating their general population in Q3. So I really, we're a little bit negative about intra-ASEAN travel right now, but I don't see it coming off, with perhaps the exception of being Singapore, of course, who are got a lot smaller population to deal with than Indonesia's or the Philippines.
And you've mentioned this when we did our last webinar back in January about, you know, what an important domestic destination Bali is for Indonesians. You know, and Indonesia has the third highest rate of vaccinations in Asia, about 13.4 million vaccines so far. Looking at it, you would say, well, it's primed to increase its domestic travel portfolio over the rest of the year, but it seems to be prioritizing international travel. You just wonder how that will pair out.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, this sandbox model. You know, Bali, maybe we can give some time for the real strategy to be articulated. But in the case of Phuket, intuitively, it sounds to me, you know, when you say sandbox, it means, okay, foreign tourists are allowed in, and silently, domestic tourists not. I don't know, are they, or domestic can come also. It's not really clear to me. But unless they have the whole country vaccinated, it seems like you wouldn't have local people coming and going. That's the whole point of trying to vaccinate the local population, right? There is a bit of a paradox in this kind of big push for domestic tourism recovery, go to Phuket, you know, let's have domestic travel. And then come July 1st, like, hey, please don't come here anymore.
You made a really important point there, Brett. Is it, maybe that isn't the case. Maybe that's not the strategy, but it's just not being communicated very, very well. And that's certainly how it comes across around the world, is that, you know, Thailand really only wants to attract back international travelers to Phuket and disregard domestic travelers. You don't get that feeling from Bali. I don't at all. I think Bali will welcome both.
Maybe it's the use of the word sandbox, but it makes it feel like, and vaccinating only the local people. But it could be, no, once the local people are vaccinated, everybody can come and go, and we don't worry. So I may be overstepping, and maybe it's use of the word sandbox that makes me think.
The interesting thing we were talking about, domestic travelers getting in, whether they'll be allowed into these destinations which are open to international travelers. With the whole Batam Bintam Singapore travel corridor, they actually announced that Indonesian domestic travelers would be allowed in, but they would have to be vaccinated and tested. So whether Thailand and Indonesia, when they're looking at Bali, also implement that kind of step. But it's a big gamble, isn't it? Because, you know, if you are opening up, and particularly if you are just kind of opening up unilaterally to international travelers, so without these reciprocal kind of travel arrangements, are international travelers going to come? And if they don't, you have just risked the domestic market on that. It's tricky. And I think you're right, Gary. I think the governments need to communicate what exactly their plan is going to be over this, because otherwise we're going to see lots of domestic travellers potentially cancelling their plans to Phuket or to Bali during July, just because perhaps they're worried about coming into contact with these international travellers coming in.
We got a couple of questions, Rico, Andre. We're going to come back to your questions, so hang on. So after you've thought about, you know, historical inbound markets and what's the practicality, you've thought about vaccination, are there any other factors that you would be thinking through now around, you know, how to go and target early demand?
I think you've got to look at length of stay. You've got to look at how long people are going to be booking for, because that's a bit of an unknown at the moment. If you look at countries like Maldives is a good example, you know, they tend to have had a longer average stay in recent months because it's the only option people have for travel right now. Now, that may change in future. We may have more destinations to go to, but it does look very much like the next year, people will be traveling less frequently. So maybe perhaps on their individual travels, they'll be staying a bit longer. So I think you've got to look at how you can maximize, obviously, your revenue, but also the opportunities that you can deliver during longer stays.
Yeah, and I think you need to be looking at the kind of travelers that are coming in as well, because one of the segments that's definitely not going to be coming in are families. You know, simply because children can't be vaccinated right now. And so you are not going to get families wanting to spend 14 days in quarantine, pinned in a room with my 3-year-old. Ain't no way, you know, I'd rather stay at home and travel domestically. So I think travel providers need to think about who is going to be able to, and perhaps it's more likely to be older travelers because they're more likely to get the vaccination first. You know, they've got less commitments and time in terms of working, so that they're a bit freer to go. Even if they do have to undergo quarantine for a couple of days, perhaps they'd be willing to do that. So I'd be looking at those, like the silver-haired travellers, I think, definitely, rather than family travellers with young kids. Nope.
I think this is a great point. So, you know, markets, then vaccination status, and then what are the likely segments within that market, both historically, as well as that maybe post-pandemic. I think this is the key to, you know, to get really, really specific about it as you look for early opportunities for driving occupancy and revenue at your hotel or driving sales as a travel seller. Let's move on to a couple of the questions that came in. Andre was asking about, you know, do we really think hotels in Bali, you could add Phuket, are they really ready to open? So, there's a lot of talk by the governments, but we kind of alluded to, doesn't sound like travelers believe it yet because no real increase in search data. Are we seeing, do you think hoteliers are actually taking these July dates seriously and preparing to reopen?
I mean, in Phuket, I imagine that they must be, because I think a lot of the drive behind the Phuket sandbox was from the private industry. And they were the ones really, really calling for this July reopening date. They were the ones pushing the government to come out with this. But of course, there must still be a huge amount of hesitancy, I think, about, okay, is this really going to happen? Am I really going to call my staff back and open up more rooms? And like I keep saying, it's that gamble, isn't it? What do you think, Gary?
I agree. I don't think we should kid ourselves. There will be a lot of closures. There will be a lot of F&B outlets that don't exist that used to. There will be a lot of services that tourists enjoyed in both destinations that are not there and may not be for a few months. So, you know, if you're a regular to either of those destinations, you're probably going to notice a difference. I think there's any doubt about that. I think the other issue that Hannah said is very important is the employment, the staffing. Most hotels across our region are working on skeleton staff right now. And there's no incentive to scale that up until you've actually got bookings, until you've got demand, until you've got people coming through regularly. So, you know, service standards may not even be quite as good as they were before. There are going to be a number of issues that about readiness. But I think the whole point with setting a start date is you've got to do it at some point. I think the issue, the problematic issue with the way Thailand looks at start dates is it's already starting to project, you know, its targeted figures for the rest of the year. I just think it should forget about doing that. It should try and open, but it should accept that this is gradual and phased, and it's not going to be, you know, the big numbers that you're looking for straight away. Don't go down that route. It doesn't make any sense.
Those numbers are a total joke. I can't believe it. The country. So in opposition to everything we just talked about, I don't know, Demas, if you can throw up those numbers from TAT. Is it TAT?
TCT. TCT.
Yeah. Love you guys. Love the optimism. Not something you can build any action plans on, right?
No. I mean, the Tourism Council of Thailand's overall expectation now is, I think it's 3 million for the whole of Thailand. TAT's is 6.5 million. I mean, just the difference even between these two, and they're both in Thailand, is insane, you know, 3.5 million.
I mean, there's a particularly interesting figure. I pointed this out on our WhatsApp group, but it says there, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, 250,000 visitors in the second half of this year. The total populations of those three countries is about 140,000. So you're going to have a lot of people visiting twice in a short period of time.
That's a great point. Great point. We had one more question come in just from a secret user, no name, but thanks for the question, asking about air travel, kind of published schedules, flights as a potential leading indicator. Have you guys seen any data showing airlines kind of stepping up their plans for July into Phuket or Bali that would indicate, you know, which markets and from where airlines believe the demand might happen?
Not yet, but that's a great question. I think that's absolutely something that people should be keeping an eye on, is which airlines announce that they're coming back, because I think that travelers are going to want to fly direct.
Yeah, I think, again, this is where you'll have to be thinking on your feet, and it will be quite dynamic. You know, airlines will be changing their schedules quite regularly. I can tell you where they're not coming from, and they're not coming from China, because China has just announced its schedules through to October this year, and it's something like a 10% increase on domestic flights over the next 6 months. And international flights from China over the next 6 months are 3% of what they were pre-pandemic.
Wow. Yeah, so that's not an encouraging stat, Gary. I know everyone's counting on China just because they were such a big, probably the number one inbound traveler market for almost every country in Southeast Asia pre-pandemic. But yeah, I think it looks really unlikely to impossible for 3Q. And I think is a big question mark for 4Q. And so while this farm for early opportunity in July in Phuket, watch what happens. Stay nimble, because it's going to be a changing environment. I think the overall guidance around, you know, stay focused on domestic That's where your opportunity is going to be in 2021. And stay sensitive to any changes. Watch what's happening in these sandbox type models to learn more about what reopening is going to look like. Are there any lessons from Maldives that Phuket and Bali can take or that we can take in terms of what's going to happen as they start to reopen these markets?
I guess one of them is that they don't really have, with the exception of India, they haven't really gone for travel bubble agreements. They have just opened. And so that in itself means that you are not limited to just Russia. So you've got an agreement with Russia and then Russia cases spike and then the borders close. You know, you can see it's quite spread. They've got from Kazakhstan to Spain to the US here. So that might be a smart move. But then, like we were saying, there's that gap. There's the gamble. Do people come if there isn't kind of reciprocal travel agreement? But saying that, you know, what country is going to want to open up a travel bubble just with Bali or just with Phuket? If Singapore did that, say, and I'm sure they're all after the Singapore market as well, what benefit does Singapore get from allowing its outbound travelers out to a leisure destination? They're certainly not going to get many Balinese or many people from Phuket visiting Singapore. So, yeah, there's always this argument between doing things opening reciprocally or opening unilaterally. But perhaps in this case, it might be wise to follow the Maldives and just open unilaterally. Anybody who's vaccinated within reason from these low-risk countries.
I think the other thing, the other perhaps learning, although this is it's slightly a different era. So Maldives did open back in July before vaccines were being rolled out. So they didn't really have the opportunity to do the vaccine-based rollout. But they did open in quite a staged manner. They managed it very, very well. They opened up resorts over a period of time. They opened up services over a period of time. Obviously, the geography of Maldives really helps it because it tends to be sort of one resort on one island. It's very right. dispersed. It's very easy to socially distance in the Maldives. But, you know, you could do that in Bali. There is plenty of space there. I think another interesting case study that we'll be looking at over the next sort of couple of months is Seychelles to see how they manage it because they've sort of opened at a different period of time. And we were talking about Russia. And Seychelles said last week that Aeroflot is sending direct flights from Russia to Seychelles for the first time in 17 years. So there must be demand from Russia for resort-type tropical destinations, which really plays into the hands of both Phuket and Bali if they manage it in a sort of phased manner.
Another country you can look at as well, and I haven't seen their stats yet because it's still relatively new since it's been open, is Sri Lanka. And Sri Lanka is kind of operating almost this double, a little bit like the Phuket sandbox, like a sealed route. So tourists can only go stay in certain hotels that locals can't stay in. They can go visit certain attractions only. And this sounds a little bit like what Phuket is planning in kind of the next phase, where it's allowing these vaccinated travelers in without quarantine, but only to certain places. So it'd be definitely interesting to track that and see whether outbreaks are generated from Sri Lanka and also who comes, who goes in and visits.
Yeah, I mean, we don't mention Israel. It's a relatively small outbound market in the overall scheme of things. But, you know, they've zoomed ahead. They have a relatively small population. They have zoomed ahead with not just with the vaccine rollouts, but there's a lot of data that's being and testing that's being done there. Because they vaccinated across different age groups. So a lot of airlines, a lot of destinations in Europe are actually looking very closely at what's happening in Israel as kind of case study. I guess, you know, for us, perhaps we could juxtapose that with Singapore and see what Singapore will do. But, you know, that's an interesting market to watch, I think. We may see Israeli travelers in destinations that perhaps previously we didn't.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be the hot market everyone competes for, I think, Israel.
I'm gonna wrap it up. Coming back to a topic we were touching on just when we started this conversation around, kind of give me your view on what's the likelihood that these things will actually happen in July, in that, you know, both of these countries, and good on them for trying, have been out with multiple schemes trying to get Bali restarted. Trying to get travel to Thailand and Phuket restarted in the past. What's your feeling around, is it really going to happen in July? Are we going to be able to begin seeing international travel happen, learn and build, you know, use that as a stepping stone to build back global inbound international in Southeast Asia? Or are we going to see kind of one more plan that doesn't actually get actualized?
Well, it's really difficult to predict. I mean, as I said earlier, we've got 12 weeks, and 12 weeks in a pandemic is a long, long time. So much can happen. You know, we can see spikes and outbreaks. They could happen anywhere. So I think it's really difficult to predict. I would lean towards Bali. I just think Bali's strategy is a little bit more circumspect, and I don't think they'll be opening with these huge expectations straight away. I would think Bali will do something. I don't know what the actual model will be. Phuket, I mean, Phuket is seems to have the political will. It seems to be that the country, the institutions are behind reopening. But it comes down to, in Thailand's view, whether it's about numbers and whether they can get the markets to send tourists there. And I would go for Bali for sure. Phuket, I'm not sure.
Me, I'm a little bit with Gary, I think, on this one. I think Bali has a higher chance of it coming off than Phuket. You know, Phuket, well, Thailand in general is just being hit now, isn't it, by this third wave. So how this is now going to impact all of these plans that they had when things were kind of getting back under control. And I mean, in cases still are, the Prime Minister has said it's now still under control. But we've got Songkran next week, don't we? And cases, you know, if interstate travel is permitted and it does go ahead, you have now got this whole chance of cases really spiking again, in which case will international travellers even want to travel in to Thailand if cases were high? You know, will they even be permitted to by their government? That's another question. So I'm reasonably optimistic. I think they both could come off by July, but just cases dependent, as always, in this COVID time.
What about you, Brett?
I think that Phuket will get something going. I mean, really impressed with the local coordination and push to somehow find a way to make it happen, right? Which is what you have to do in these situations is, look, it's hard, but we're just going to find a way to get things moving again. Shout out to all of the local industry leaders there. But I think it'll probably be very slow. So whether it'll happen July 1st or August 1st, I think they'll get something started, depending on some things like you mentioned, Gary, vaccination. So Phuket, I think, will be relatively small, but it will get started July, August, sometime in third quarter for sure. They will begin experimenting, trying to learn. I think the government, central government, also really wants to learn about how can they get things restarted. And if they can use this as a platform to do that, whether it goes good or not, it's at least a learning opportunity, they'll do it. In the case of Bali, I think Bali is on. So that's where I would, if you have the opportunity to sell travel or you're a hospitality brand with properties in Bali, I would focus there. I think Bali will happen. I would go through our exercise of, you know, who are the markets and who are the segments in those markets that are likely to travel, and start trying to think about how can we reach them. What are the channels? You know, what are they looking for in terms of experiences? Because I think Bali will definitely take something more that looks like Maldives approach, which is just like, hey, you know, come. And I also think something that you mentioned, Hannah, historically around cultural or government-driven mindsets, in that in Indonesia, I think people are much more, I don't know, West Coast, USA, California, chill style about the whole pandemic. You know, they're just like, yeah, okay, it is. It's pandemic. Pandemic's pandemic. Still got to live, you know. Whereas in Thailand, it's really been cultivated towards this zero case mentality early on. And so even they get a surge of, you know, 30 new cases in a day, the whole country's like in panic, like, oh my God, what's going on in Bangkok? 30 new cases. I mean, here, 30 new cases, 3,000 new cases. It's like, yeah, okay, another day. So I think this mindset that's been cultivated around a zero case mentality also will cause them to be much more cautious, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that feeds into the local people's perceptions, like you say, as well, and their perception of risk and the risk of an international traveler coming in. You know, one of the things that they're saying now about the new Thailand outbreak is that it's a UK strain. So whether we are going to see more reticence, I suppose, about letting international travellers in because of these other variants circulating as well, could be a real possibility, I think.
Just before we wrap up, Brett, I've got one quick question to ask you both. Now, when we look at Phuket and when we look at Bali, this tends to look very much like vaccinated travel. You're going to have to be vaccinated to travel to those destinations. But then when you look at the travel bubble between Australia and New Zealand, that's not the case. It's quarantine-free travel between two countries. Do you think we'll see more travel bubbles in Southeast Asia, or do you think they're dead in Southeast Asia and it's only vaccinated travel now?
I mean, I think Singapore, they're going to keep pursuing the idea of travel bubbles, like how Australia is doing it, I think, because they have come out and they have said, yes, vaccination may play a part in it, but it's a small part and there are lots of other parts to play. But it does very much look like Thailand and Indonesia are focusing on this vaccination concept. I think other countries like Malaysia and Vietnam are going to be taking a seat back and perhaps looking at how all of these countries, how Singapore handles it, how Thailand handles it, how Indonesia handles it, and taking their cues from those and learning from their mistakes as well.
But I do think it's going to be very dynamic, and everybody watching what's happening in every other market. But I think the idea that smaller countries that can accelerate their vaccination trajectory, you know, if the majority of Singaporeans are vaccinated, the likelihood that Singapore might just say, you know, everyone can come vaccinated or not. But still a lot of question marks around what being vaccinated means, how long it lasts, what are all the implications of your ability to transmit on, et cetera. So I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, but the possibility that markets could just say we're safe and we're open is out there. But I think for the rest of 2021, it's definitely going to be in Southeast Asia, vaccinated traveler bubbles, not Australia, New Zealand, free travel.
Yeah.
No way.
I agree.
All right, guys, thanks so much, man. Fun discussion as always. We'll have to plan to get together again near the end of the year to kind of revisit how did we do on our Bali and Phuket projections, as well as what's actually happening in the early phases of those reopenings.
Yep, definitely. Look forward to it.
All right, thanks so much.
Cheers. Thank you.